Welcome one and all to another day here at the Damage Report. I'm John Adirola, as always, but not as always, the co-host situation. Today we've got a real treat for you. First time ever on the show, contributor Rebel HQ, as well as comedian Alonzo Bowden. Alonzo, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good morning. Yes, this is my first time on the show. Hopefully won't be the last. Let's see what I say.
We'll see. We'll see. We might get in trouble. We might have to go another direction. But for now, I have high hopes. Fingers are both crossed. I'm sure many people are, you know, familiar with your work, both inside and outside of TYT, including your contributions to Rebel HQ. But can you tell people who might not be a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Sure. I've been doing stand up for almost 30 years now. One last comic standing. I've done all the late night shows, specials on Amazon and Showtime. So the comedy career has been pretty good. And in the last few years, I would say, with the help of TYT, I've become a pundit, a bit of a pundit. I have an opinion, but it's a funny opinion. I'm also a regular panelist on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, which I love. And shout out to Salt Lake City and Denver. We are starting the Wait, Wait comedy tour this weekend. So we're going to be at the Eccles Theater in Salt Lake City and the Paramount in Denver. And we're going to have panelists from Wait, Wait doing stand up uncensored. So that's going to be fun. And yeah, and I am also owner, raiser, and spoiler of a giant Great Dane named Hulk, who is by far the most popular thing on my Instagram.
That is awesome. I have heard that we might see an appearance of Hulk during the show at some point.
If he wakes up, he will join us.
Okay, that's cool. My much smaller dog is over there right now. He's also napping. And I love that you have a Great Dane. Growing up, I had a Great Dane named Gunner. He was awesome. They are very sleepy dogs, but Great Danes are awesome dogs. So hopefully we'll get to see Hulk. With all that said, we've got a lot that we're gonna be talking about in this show. So we're gonna be starting off with some of the latest revelations in regards to the absolutely tragically botched response to the Uvalde shooting. But in addition to that, we've got Triumph the Insult comic dog being arrested. Is it an insurrection? We're gonna try to figure it out. Lauren Boebert's latest nonsense, as well as an like when a cop pulls someone over, you know it's not gonna be good in 2022. But we've got a video of one of, I think, the worst instances. So we're gonna have that for you. And if you're watching like the full run of the show, we've got some other nonsense too after our break, our hour break, including. Apparently, coming soon to LA and maybe other cities, air taxis. We're gonna debate what that might mean in practice. So, in advance of that, if you're on a platform that allows for things like liking videos, now would be a great time to do that. And if you wanna send us any comments, tweets, super chats, and all that, we'll respond as we go. But with all that said, Alonzo, are you ready to start the show?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay, we're regrettably not gonna be starting with something light or fun. But we will be starting with this.
The only thing stopping a hallway of dedicated officers from entering room 111 and 112 was the on-scene commander, who decided to place the lives of officers before the lives of children. The officers had weapons, the children had none. The officers had body armor, the children had none. The officers had training, the subject had none. One error, 14 minutes and 8 seconds. That's how long the children waited and the teachers waited in rooms 111 to be rescued.
So what you just heard is an excerpt from testimony that happened earlier today by Texas Department of Public Safety Director Steve McCraw, who is laying out very clearly how terrible this response actually was and how high the cost was for the fact that the cops did not do not just what was necessary, but virtually any of the different things that might have helped to save lives. And instead, a lot of people died that day, tragically. Now, we've known a good bit of this, but we're learning more and more of the details. By his estimate, by the way, there were enough cops with enough equipment and weapons, riot shields and all of that to have moved in and neutralized the shooter in Uvalde inside of 3 minutes of the beginning of that shooting. That was his estimate. And we're gonna have more specifics, but obviously that's not what happened. As he laid out, the shooter was allowed to go on his rampage for more than an hour, and we know the cost from that. He also, by the way, in his testimony pointed out that there was evidence that Ramos, the shooter in Uvalde, had engaged in acts of animal cruelty, which is considered one of the stereotypical things used to figure out if someone might progress to acts of violence against humans. He did say that there was nothing in the disciplinary files for the student that raised any red flags. But obviously, if you are aware of him engaging in animal cruelty, that would serve potentially as a red flag. But I will remind you that while in the wake of the Uvalde shooting, the Republicans in Texas seem to have landed on, well, we're not going to do anything about guns, but we should care about mental health, mental illness. We're worried about that. So then what if you found out that he had been doing things like torturing or abusing animals? Would you have barred him from buying a gun? No, but basically none. There's a few Republicans nationwide that do believe in these red flag laws, but the vast majority of Texas Republicans don't. They want to focus on mental health, and when there's indications that someone might not be well, they don't want to do literally anything about it. And because of that sort of approach, we ended up with the situation that we did in Uvalde. Now, in a minute, we're going to give you a lot more details, granular details on exactly how the response could have gone. But Alonzo, I wanted to give you a chance to weigh in. What do you think about what's been revealed?
Well, this is another one of these situations where they talk about good cops, bad cops. You know, I have a friend who's a retired police officer, and she told me she was involved in two active shooter situations. She said it is scary. The adrenaline is super high. They're obviously nervous and unknown, but you know what they do and what they did? They went in. They went in. They didn't stand around waiting. They didn't. This is a case of these cops. Blame your commander or whatever. It's all talk now. Why didn't they storm the gates, John? And these are the ones where I have to be disciplined in language because I get so upset. There is no excuse for these cops. All this tough talk, good guys with guns, blah, blah, blah. You stood outside while children were being shot. You didn't rush in. You're not heroes. It's all a bunch of crap. I don't want to hear about you blaming the too many doors on the school. You didn't have a key, blah, blah. I don't want to hear any of that. You know, some people said this. I don't know if you remember Emmett Till, the story of Emmett Till. Emmett Till was a 13-year-old boy, beaten to death in Mississippi for supposedly looking at a white woman. And his mother said, have him buried with an open casket so people can see what was done. Somebody mentioned this about Uvalde. Show the kids, show what an AR-15 does to a body. Some of the children had their heads blown off. Some of the children could only be identified by pieces of clothing because the bullets ripped through their bodies. The police claimed they were outgunned and scared of AR-15s, yet they continued to sell them to 18-year-old kids. So, John, how do I feel about it? I am tired of this nonsensical talk and inaction by our politicians. You know, if the Republicans are for sale to the NRA, fine. Why aren't the Democrats stepping up? Why isn't there an executive order to stop the sale of these guns? Enough is enough. See, once we've accepted killing children, which we did in Sandy Hook, then everything else becomes pretend. Everything else is just talk. Once it's okay to kill children with assault rifles, then we're just talking. We're all complicit in wasting time because children's bodies were blown to pieces while cops were standing outside, and now they're trying to talk about it. How do you justify it? What do you have to say? Well, you know, this is why we allowed children to be blown to pieces for an hour. Shut up.
Exactly. Yeah, they seem to think that they need to explain themselves. No, that's not the response that you should give or that we want from you. What we want you to do is resign in shame. That's what you should do. That's the thing that I think socially is demanded of you. You had a job. It is admittedly a difficult job, a taxing job, and a scary job. I can't conceive of running into a building against someone that has an AR-15, but you'll notice that I haven't applied to become a cop. They did. They knew that was the sort of situation that they could be up against. It sucks that we live in a country where so many of our elected representatives are perfectly fine, as Alonzo pointed out, with us selling weapons to teens that can scare an entire squad of police officers. But that's a decision we've made. And I'm not even necessarily convinced that most of the cops who were terrified on that day believe that that policy should be changed. I don't see tons of cops joining us at gun control protests and saying, yes, they shouldn't have large capacity magazines. They shouldn't have ammunition that can blow a hole in my body armor. They shouldn't have a weapon that can gun down a ton of cops all at once. I would love to have them be allies in this movement, but so far, Alonzo, I haven't really seen it. And also, the story is that they were too scared to go in. Like, that certainly seems to be true, that they were outgunned or whatever. That, by the way, is what Pete Arredondo, the chief in charge there, although he seems to not have known that he was in charge. He says that the guy had shot a lot with an AR-15 style rifle and that they were outgunned. They only had pistols. I can't imagine a scenario in the United States, let alone specifically in Texas, where a bunch of cops rolled up and all they had between them were pistols. That doesn't seem generally how this works. But it also, the story, as with so many other aspects of this, just falls apart almost instantly as they talk to not like Pete Arredondo and people who are covering their ass, but talking to other witnesses who don't have to defend themselves. They're revealing the truth. So just 4 minutes after that particular comment was made, at 11:44, body camera video recorded the sound of gunshots. At 11:52, the first ballistic shield arrived, something that could have been used to defend the cops as they breached the door. Okay, so at that point, Arredondo is saying, we're trying to find the key to the door, although it has become increasingly clear, and at least one witness has confirmed, they do not seem to have tried to open the door. They keep saying they need the key. There is no evidence that they tried the handle at all. That is a new level of fear. Arredondo had said that he called for tactical gear, a sniper, keys for the classroom. He said that when he got the keys, he tried dozens, but they didn't work. But that turns out also to have been a lie. It seems like what he really did was they had tried keys in other doors looking for the master key that they thought they needed, but they didn't necessarily need it because there's no evidence that one even jiggled the handle on the door that they should have been breaching at that point. And by the way, even if it had been locked and there's no evidence that that is actually the case, they had what's called a Halligan bar, an axe-like tool that can open locked doors. And by the way, Alonzo, I don't think we need to point out that there is abundant evidence from around the country that when cops wanna breach a door, they're gonna breach the door. They don't often freak out about the need for keys. Can you not aim down at the lock and shoot it? Can you not, like this is not Fort Knox. This is the door to an elementary school classroom. You're telling me none of those cops could have kicked it open with riot shields to defend them? The initial story that they gave made no sense. To even say what they said was an insult to everyone that heard that cover story. But the fact that seemingly nothing about that cover story was even true, Alonzo, makes it even worse. This is one of the most shameful moments for law enforcement that I can remember from our life. And it's not like there's not a lot of competition.
Well, and you're right, it's the shame of law enforcement. And again, where are the good cops? Where are the real cops, the brave cops? Because there's a lot of cops that would have stormed in that door. They have those little battering rams, you know, the handheld ones. Those seem to breach doors pretty well. They have that crowbar-like tool. You know who never needs a key for the door? The fire department. I never saw a building burning down because the fire department said, you know what, we don't have the key. Now, as far as being outgunned, back in the 80s, I believe it was in the 80s, might have been in the 90s, but I think it was the 80s. There was a bank robbery in North Hollywood. They did a movie about this. These guys went in, they had all kind of guns. They had some powerful weapons. And you know what the cops did? They went to a gun store. There was a gun store less than a mile away. The cops went in and said, we need guns. And they grabbed the biggest guns from that gun store and they raced over and they shot at these guys. You cannot tell me that these cops, if they didn't have the guns with them, how far away are more powerful guns? This is Texas, okay? Mm-hmm. This is Texas. This isn't, I don't know, Asheville, North Carolina, or some, you know, pacifist college town. No disrespect to Asheville, don't know their gun capacity, but this is Texas. You're a cop without a gun. How far away are the guns? This is an hour. Well, are you kidding? Are you, no, Every excuse they have is BS. The door was locked. Is that all it takes to keep, you know how many criminals would, how many drug dealers are like, wait a minute, all we had to do was lock the door and they don't come in? Well, I wish we knew that. Please, it's an embarrassment, as you said. This is an embarrassment to law enforcement, and it's an embarrassment to everybody who tries to protect these cops. Now these cops will talk tough, right? And if they saw you or me on the street and they said, hey, you were talking smack about us, and they would be big, tough men then. But when an active shooter is killing children, they're like, I'm scared. I'm not going. You know who's not scared? Honestly, fire department. Firemen go in. You talk about impossible situations. Firemen run into burning buildings. They don't sit around with a plan. They don't look for a kid. If there were kids in a burning building, no commander is going to stop firemen from going in. This is inexcusable. It's beyond an embarrassment. It is horrific. And the idea that anyone would try to justify or defend these cops for what they did and what they didn't do is beyond anything one can imagine. And yet, John, business as usual. Business as usual. Guaranteed. I hate to say this, but you know this as well as I do. There's a crazed shooter out there who's going to want to kill more because of this.
Another officer with a shield arrived at 12:03. Another with a shield arrived a few minutes later. 30 minutes before they breach it, the guy in charge is wondering, could he be shot through a window? Finally, at 12:46, he told the tactical team members to breach the door when ready. I mean, look, you can see in this picture, by the way, it is possible that I am misinterpreting this, but what it looks like for that ballistic shield, it looks like it's the type that has a firing port in it, and it looks like that guy has got a rifle or a shotgun pointed through it. Like, this footage is revealing what they had. They keep saying that they were totally outgunned. All of the evidence proves that it's not the case. And I'll remind you that they are working as hard as I've ever seen cops work to stop more of the body cam footage from being revealed. What must be on that footage for them to be fighting this hard? What was said? What will they have? What more is there left for Arredondo to have said that could be proven to be false? And maybe we'll find out. Maybe we'll find out. Go to this tweet, by the way. You'll see it's shields and rifles and all of that stuff. And look, we feel a need because obviously we as a network have for a very long time been very critical of the cops because the cops have provided a never-ending supply of reasons to be critical of them. So when cops fail, we have to talk about that. When cops lie, we definitely have to talk about that. But I will say again what I've said basically every time that we've talked about Uvalde. I kind of hate that we need to check all of this stuff, Alonzo, because it makes it seem as if this is the relevant variable. And I don't believe that it is. And to prove that, consider an experiment. What if they'd had the key? Or what if the cops had been braver? Or what if the cops had moved in faster? What if the cops had done right? All of the things that we've identified that they did wrong. Would that have solved all of the problems? No. Maybe some lives would have been saved. That's good. I would have loved that. But a bunch of people would have died in the first few moments. Because what let that happen isn't that cops weren't brave enough. It's that a deranged 18-year-old was able to get an assault rifle. That was the problem. You might be able to, we could do little tweaks around the edges that get cops to rush in the door faster or whatever. Maybe have more AR-15s waiting to go for them. That helps in response to the true problem, which is that people can get these incredibly deadly guns and kill a bunch of people almost instantaneously. And because we're focusing so much on the cops, you'll notice in Texas, they're not considering changing anything having to do with assault rifles. Nationally, we're considering like a little bit around background checks, a little bit around red flags, nothing about raising the age to get an AR-15 or anything like that. And so this looks really bad for Uvalde. This has been a terrible PR situation for them. But for the right, this is basically played out how they would have wished, because nothing fundamentally is going to change. It is going to be just as easy for the next potential mass shooter to go and get a couple of AR-15s and kill a bunch of people. And we're going to be left like with our fingers crossed, hoping that the cops Rambo through the door in a couple of minutes so that only 5 or 10 kids die next time. That's my fear, Alonzo.
Well, I don't blame the right, because the right wing is staying, they stated their position and they haven't changed, that they're okay with these weapons. And by the way, there have been many gun experts and people who know these things who have said AR-15 and assault and military style weapons are made to kill people, okay? They're not made to hunt. They're not made, you know, I used to do a joke that you know, these things shoot through bulletproof vests. If you're hunting and you see a deer with a bulletproof vest, you should probably leave him alone, okay? That'd be one that he knows somebody, right? It's sad. I'm not joking about this murder, but I joke about the ridiculousness of this theory. No, this is on the Democratic Party. This is on the Democratic leadership who doesn't, you talk about being cowards. They don't have the courage to pass an executive order. They don't have the courage to stop these weapons. You know, I happened to be in London when this happened. If you see the foreign press, they're totally baffled as to how many school shootings we have and how easy it is to buy the weapons. They're absolutely baffled. They're like, what are you people doing? What is wrong with you? So I don't blame the right wing. This is on the Democratic Party for not doing anything. You talk about weakened laws. New York passed a law against body armor. Two words were not in the law, body and armor. The body armor used in the Buffalo shooting is still legal after this law has been passed. So how many toothless, it's all just talk, you know? How many toothless laws are you gonna pass? How many times are you gonna suggest, listen, Bill Clinton banned assault weapons, okay? Newt Gingrich was mad about it. They were all mad about it. You know what happened? There were fewer mass shootings. That's what happened. That was the result. There were fewer mass shootings. I'm not anti-gun, I'm anti-stupid. We are stupid, okay? Guns in responsible hands, educated hands, guns are okay. People hunt, people target, shoot, whatever. All of that's fine. These weapons are designed, have been designed for the military and to kill people. That is the purpose of these weapons. When does it stop? It doesn't.
100%. Yeah. It is indisputable that some people clearly shouldn't have guns. This is one of the many indisputable things that they refuse to actually acknowledge. Like, their response will always be, well, okay, no, but like if good people also have guns, that's fine. Okay, well, in that case, go into a jail and give all the prisoners guns. I mean, what's the difference? The guards have guns, so it equals out. Like, none of this makes any sense. It's absolute madness. And it's fundamental madness because they don't care. As Alonzo said earlier, we made the decision that, you know, kids being gunned down, their bodies being blown apart, doesn't matter. Now, most Americans don't agree with that, but unfortunately, a critical mass of those in elected office do. Lauren Boebert, Greg Abbott, these people don't care. They just don't care, or at least they don't care enough to do literally anything about it. If it was of no cost to them or the industries that they defend or their electoral prospects or the culture war they're engaged in, then sure, maybe they'd prefer in that hypothetical world where it costs them nothing, fewer kids being blown to bits. But in a world where there is a cost, they just don't care. It doesn't matter. Over the weekend, a production crew working for Stephen Colbert apparently got arrested while filming in the Capitol. They had been filming a segment in DC with Triumph the Insult Comic Dog, a puppet character, it's a dog. Triumph's performer, comedian Robert Smigel, was among those detained. Now, this happened, they were processed, and that could have been where it ended, but that wasn't where it ended. And it forced Stephen Colbert himself to address the situation on his show. Here's a small clip of that.
But a fairly simple story. Until the next night when a couple of the TV people started claiming that my puppet squad had, quote, committed insurrection at the US Capitol building. First of all, what? Second of all, huh? Third of all, they weren't in the Capitol building. Fourth of all, and I am shocked I have to explain the difference, but an insurrection involves disrupting the lawful actions of Congress and howling for the blood of elected leaders, all to prevent the peaceful transfer of power. This was first-degree puppetry.
And no, he's right. Not just one, not just two, multiple people on Fox had a big issue with the fact that they had been briefly detained, processed, and then were released. That they were not locked up in solitary confinement for like a year. Because apparently what they had been doing was, in the views of these totally intellectually honest Republicans, an insurrection. I'm gonna give you an example of it. Sean Hannity talked about it last night, saying, where's the outrage from the Democrats? Aren't they concerned about trespassing and securing the Capitol? Or is that only when they can use it to attack Donald Trump? Jason Chaffetz, who Hannity was talking to, former representative, said this: all you asked for is equal application of the law. If somebody breaks the law, they should be charged. On the one hand, I'm glad that the Capitol Police had the political guts to actually arrest these people. There is, I think, a question as to how is it that they got back into the Capitol? Again, they weren't in the actual Capitol building. I want to see these people prosecuted to the same degree and the same outrage that the left pretends on January 6 people. And in fact, Tucker Carlson also said that it was a coup. Now, some of them will argue that they were being satirical. I have issues with that as well. But first, I want to give Stephen Colbert a chance to explain why he's not a fan of this response from the right in this.
But drawing any equivalence between rioters storming our Capitol to prevent the counting of electoral ballots and a cigar-chomping toy dog is a shameful and grotesque insult to the memory of everyone who died. And it obscenely trivializes the service and the courage the Capitol Police showed on that terrible day.
Almost as if by design, almost as if the Republicans do want to denigrate that service. I mean, after all, they support the people who are trying to beat those same cops to death with their bare hands and with fire extinguishers and with Trump flagpoles and things like that. So we're gonna dive in a minute into what Tucker Carlson had to say about this. But Alonzo, what do you make about this? The right trying to draw this equivalence?
Well, the false equivalency is ridiculous. But here's the thing I love. The fact that big tough guys like Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson are afraid of a puppet dog. Because that's what they're saying. They're saying it's the same thing. So they're actually physically afraid of a dog puppet. I have encountered Triumph the Insult Comet dog during my career. At no point did I feel threatened by the puppet. I was like, you know what? If this puppet goes berserk, I can handle him. I'm gonna be okay. So these grown men are afraid of a puppet. The idea of comparing a comedy team going to the Capitol to do some sort of joke, whatever they were setting up, a sketch for Colbert show, to actually physically attacking the Capitol is so utterly ridiculous that only Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity disciples would believe that. See, this is what's comical about these people. They always talk tough, right? They like to dress up. They do cosplay. They dress up like they're military. They put on their flak jackets and their camouflage, and they take their AR-15 and head to the supermarket. But they're afraid of a puppet dog. So how tough are you? It's a puppet. It's not even alive. As a matter of fact, without the puppeteer, it would just lay there. So, it's fun to make fun of this, but this is where you'd really like to see him face to face and just say that. So you're afraid of the puppet dog. You think the puppet is the same as a crazed guy swinging a fire extinguisher. And might I add this, John, at no point did Triumph, raise his leg on Nancy Pelosi's desk.
That's true.
Just saying, at no
more house trained than them.
Yeah,
exactly. The dog's not scary. I don't think Robert Smigel is particularly scary. As I was telling my production team, I actually once spoke at the DNC or the RNC, one of the two, with the dog, and I wasn't terrified at the time, actually. But like I said, I do want to dive into one of these because Tucker Carlson's commentary is going to make clear that they are making this comparison, but they'll say, well, no, but we're not saying that it's as bad. It's satire. we're drawing a different comparison. But here's the thing. They are saying it's the same. They're just not saying it's the same in the way that you might think. Stephen Colbert is rightfully, you know, bothered by this. He is responding as if they're saying this is as bad as the riot. Okay. But that is what they're saying. They're just saying that the riot is only as bad as this. And that is more sick. It's one thing to pretend that the dog is an insurrection, which is bad. That would be weird. It's worse to imply that an insurrection is only as bad as a cartoon dog being briefly detained. And that is very much what they're doing. It's going to become very clear when I read this. Here is a bit from what Tucker Carlson had to say. Responding, he's being like sarcastic about how people responded to the actual insurrection. We're scarred by what we saw. We're all Casey Hunt tonight. It'll be a long time before we can revisit the Capitol building, before we can forget where we were when democracy shook on its very foundations. It's gonna take therapy. It's gonna take a lot of support from our fellow survivors before we can recapture the carefree innocence that Stephen Colbert stole from us, before we can feel safe again. Because it's ridiculous to feel that way about the dog. And presumably, it's ridiculous to feel that way about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people trying to murder elected representatives, trying to hang Mike Pence, beating people, injuring more than 100 cops, leading to multiple deaths. One of them was literally shot dead on site. But none of that is any more serious than the rubber dog. He goes on to quote a bunch of people in the news calling January 6th one of America's darkest days, and then mocks that, saying, now you look at something like that and you're tempted to dismiss it out of hand. Oh, you're having trouble sleeping? You sob for no reason? Well, that's because you have a barren personal life. You're celibate. Your only meaningful human contact comes from an Uber Eats guy. You live out your emotional life on Netflix. That's your core problem. It couldn't really be an insurrection that made you cry. And in particular, he mocked, as another person later on our show will, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez being terrified that she would be murdered or raped, in no small part because of the constant demonization on programs like Tucker Carlson, saying we're gonna deal with that in our quiet time alone, possibly wearing an upscale turtleneck. We'll let you know. But the question is, once we've had an act of war like this, how does the country respond? How do we all respond? Boom, 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 as Sandy would say. Because they're all being ridiculous. That's the thing. And I'm sure some people on the right are like, yeah, that's really funny. He's being sarcastic. He's mocking them because it wasn't really serious. But this is what Tucker Carlson is doing. His job as an incredibly wealthy elite in our society is to provide whatever cover he can with his massive media platform to make sure that people don't do anything about the fact that this mob tried to end democracy. That they, as one part of a multi-pronged plan with the Trump campaign, with their legal challenges, with the senators and representatives trying to stop the count, with the mob, all that is nothing to worry about. The fact that people died is nothing to worry about. The fact that they had anti-Semitic shirts and they were shouting white supremacist slogans. The fact that they're almost certainly gonna do this again is nothing to worry about. It's only as consequential as a rubber dog being briefly detained. And I get it, he's gonna hide behind this supposed sarcasm, this supposed satire, his actual message, what he is trying to accomplish with that whole thing that he just did is absolutely disgusting because it's in service of the destruction of American democracy. Any other thoughts, Alonzo?
Well, you summed it up really well. To start with, the ability of people like Tucker Carlson to manipulate the masses, to manipulate their cult, it's exactly what you said. They're using this to try to dismiss the insurrection as small. Now, if he's serious and Triumph the Insult Comic Dog has scarred them for life to where they cannot visit the Capitol, then Triumph has become a national hero. If he's good enough to keep them away from the Capitol, I love Triumph even more. He has done America a service. You're right, they're trying to downplay the insurrection and everything that went with it. It works because their cult is 90% there. So, you know, and it's very interesting. His description of people who have no meaningful human contact and only deal with Uber Eats, he's describing the incels. He's actually describing a portion of his cult. And these incels are dangerous men who hate women. And they sit around and they, you know, on the computer talking to each other. And this is the exact thing that that AOC is worried about, because women like her, any woman is vulnerable to the attack of these incels, which has been proven by the incels attacking over and over. The fact that she's wearing an upscale turtleneck, really, Tucker, does that bother you? How much money do you spend on your fake hunting outfits when you go to Montana? By the way, I love that the guys in the gun stores and hunting shops in Montana call him out whenever he's there. He's not safe anywhere. He thought they were his constituents, and they're like, you're the worst person on earth. So I love them. Shout out to them for doing that. But yeah, you summed it up perfectly. It's beyond appealing to the base. It's encouraging the cult. And that's why it's dangerous, because just like they talk about radicalized, you know, Muslim terrorists or whatever, our terrorist problem is radicalized white male Americans. And this is what fuels them. This is what makes it okay. This is why one of them is sitting in the basement somewhere figuring out how to shoot Triumph the comic, insult comic dog. And the only thing that makes it safe for Robert Smigel is that they think the dog is real. So they're actually going after the dog. He's fine because they're trying to figure out where the dog sleeps at night. So your only advantage is, you know, you're dealing with people who are out of their mind. But all joking aside, these people are easily manipulated, and Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity or whatever do this. And it's the frightening part. It would be fun and it would be funny if it weren't for the fact that somebody's in a basement right now trying to figure out how to kill Triumph.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Republicans are, you know, taking over state level election offices. So the next time they won't even need the insurrection. They can just steal it on a state by state basis. Yeah. Okay, we're gonna take our second break of the hour. When we come back, just even more awful people and more targeting of AOC for an incredibly human moment. We'll have that for you after this.
These members who are running this committee, they don't operate on logic, and you cannot debate reality with these people. Whenever this comes up, they exaggerate so much of this. And I mean, look at AOC. Everything goes back to her possibly being raped on January 6th. Why does everything come back to people want to have some sort of sexual encounter with her any time that there's an incident? I don't know what her obsession is with that. But this is what we're hearing from Democrats. So you can't even debate reality, certainly with everyday policies. And I wouldn't expect the same with January 6th.
So that's Lauren Boebert. I think we can all agree. I think this will be reasonable. One of the most disgusting things I've ever heard in my life. I mean, look, if logic is important to you, the idea that she, as part of the movement that refuses years after the election to acknowledge that Donald Trump lost the election, for her to then say you can't debate reality with these people, well, you're floating off in outer space. You don't know about anything. You believe in QAnon. You believe that Satanists are eating babies and stuff like that. You have no idea where you are, what time it is. You're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. But I'm willing to set aside the logic thing, as important as logic is to me, as important as an attachment to reality is to me, to focus on the thing about AOC. Because after a couple of years of intense hyper focus from every single right winger on everything that AOC says, does, everything she did before she was elected, God help us if she ever danced on video, that's a week's news cycle for them. Then when people storm in there, people who we know from all these court cases were focused on people like Nancy Pelosi, Mike Pence, and AOC, the actual insurrectionists were elevating this representative to that level. She was afraid of being murdered or raped, the most understandable fear imaginable. And for Lauren Boebert to then attack her and say that her saying that she was afraid that she was raped is her being obsessed with having sexual encounters, that is sick on so many levels, with politics just being one of them. Just like raw humanity, let alone her being a woman and attacking another woman's fear of being raped in this way, Alonzo, that was just disgusting. And it's from an elected representative. That's not just some YouTuber, some bizarre podcaster or something like that. She is a congresswoman.
So John, where do we start? Okay. This is the thing with Lauren Boebert, and you have to understand this with everything she says. Marjorie Taylor Greene, that is her biggest problem. She has been out crazy. She planned to go to Congress and be the craziest person, the craziest voice, get tons of press coverage. And Marjorie Taylor Greene showed up and out-crazied her on every level. So nobody cares what she has to say. That is her frustration. That is her anger. Marjorie, listen, she thought, well, I'll just out-crazy Sarah Palin. And then Marjorie Taylor Greene took the game to a whole different level. It's like, you know, you're up against the LeBron James of crazy when you take on MGT. So this is why she's upset. Listen, I strongly suspect, I don't know if you remember, but there was a campaign stop with Barack Obama. And they were talking about people not liking him. And he went, you know, like Jay-Z, you got to brush that dirt off your shoulder, right? That's AOC dealing with Lauren Boebert. AOC doesn't talk to Lauren Boebert. AOC's like, because yeah. Lauren Boebert isn't anything to be taken. It's just noise. And her problem is, I'm telling you, John, her frustration is that Marjorie Taylor Greene, remember, I don't know how old you are. I don't know which Batman is your Batman. I was around for the first movie with Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson. And Jack Nicholson had a phenomenal line. What kind of world do we live in when a guy dressed as a bat gets all of my press? That is Lauren Boebert. Marjorie Taylor Greene gets all of her press, and she cannot be, she's on some right-wing podcast talking, you know what I mean?
You're right.
Don't take her seriously. Her big problem is that Marjorie Taylor Greene is so much crazier, she can't get any press coverage.
Yeah. Yeah, you're 100% right. And honestly, especially now with the Democrats being in charge, even if Lauren Boebert had a substantive thought, which she is constitutionally incapable of, it wouldn't matter because she's not in power. You're totally right. I don't think AOC cares about what Lauren Boebert says. I'm sure many in the audience think it's weird that I'm obsessed with it. And I don't know why, after all of this time covering the news, let alone multiple years of the pandemic, I am still surprised by any of this, or why I would have expectations for an attachment to reality or for basic human decency. And I know that I'm probably wasting everyone's time, but it still does bother me that we live in a country that is so utterly lacking in humanity, that there is so much incentive. Like you said, she's frustrated that, you know, Marjorie Greene is out crazing her. But the reason that she could be frustrated about that is because there's so much appetite for crazy. Like they want the Jewish space lasers theory, and they want to hear about how Satanists are eating baby faces and stuff like that. They want this theory that like every food processing plant in America has been burned down in the last year. They are not interested in reality. Reality is too depressing. And so they won't do what I do, which is just get really into Marvel shows. They have to invent their own new reality and get obsessed with that. And I find that even more pathetic.
Have you ever seen a president who refuses to accept blame? And I want to add to that, commits so many falsehoods. I'm being very polite here, calling it falsehoods. Falsehoods. On any given day, he's out there saying stuff that just ain't true. You ever see anything like that?
Never in my lifetime. I said today that there has never been a time in my life where a president was more disconnected from the American people.
I just lost 5% of my brain cells. Listen to that. He has, Mike Pence, former vice president, I will remind you, under Donald Trump, has never known a president more disconnected from reality. He has never known a president who has lied more, who's more disconnected from what's going on and from the needs of the people. It's Donald Trump. There are 30,000 verified checked lies on PolitiFact alone for Donald Trump. Donald Trump, I will remind everyone, in case you've forgotten, is the guy that tried to murder his vice president, that was Mike Pence, actually. He tried to get Mike Pence murdered specifically because of a lie, after all. Well, two lies, really. Trump refused to accept the results of the 2020 election. Also, he refused to accept that Pence could not simply invent a premise under which Donald Trump remains as president. And despite all of that, Mike Pence has never seen a president who lies more than Joe Biden. Alonzo, that is just insane.
So is this some kind of advanced Stockholm syndrome? Is that what this is? You're actually trying to appeal to the people who wanted to hang you. Not in effigy, they wanted to hang you for real. They stormed the Capitol with the idea of tying a rope around your neck and hanging you to death. And now you're sitting there trying to appeal to them with lying about the lie. It's something in my eye. I would say it's beyond belief, and yet it's not. If there's anything weaker than Mike Pence, I haven't seen it. There's anything more spineless, forget, you know. The other thing, when they talk about Biden, I always thank them for the respect they give Biden, because they give Biden the power to stop the supply chain worldwide and to raise the price of oil throughout the planet. So that makes Biden a really powerful guy, and I always thank them for respecting him and admitting that he is that much power. He is the supreme leader of the earth. So good for them on that. But yeah, I haven't had anyone consciously try to hang me, but if they did, I probably wouldn't invite them to a show and try to make them laugh. Just saying, that might not be your fan base.
100%. Yeah, and that is exactly why Lonzo is totally right. This is why Mike Pence is doing everything he's doing. He desperately still wants to be a Republican, and he thinks he's gonna be the presidential nominee in 2024. There's a lot of dumb things that come out of Republicans, but that puts him on Boebert level, honestly. If he thinks the party's gonna choose him over, like, pick a pundit, honestly. But that's why he's doing this. And if you find yourself, this is advice that is actionable for everyone. If you find yourself in a position where to be successful in your career, you need to continually try to appeal to the people who want to see you swinging from a rope, move on, man. If that happens in YouTube, I'm gonna go back to waiting table. Anyway, that's all the time we have for this first hour. We got a lot more show with Alonzo coming up on the other side of this break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Black Malibu Barbie says fewer mass shootings is not something that the sick gun lobbyists care about. Well, it's not just, you're right, they don't care about it, except in that what happens after a mass shooting for the gun manufacturer every single time? You know what happens? They sell more guns. So is it something that they hate? I don't know. Maybe they value the kids' lives more than money. Literally nothing about what they say or do would imply that, but maybe. Maybe. Brandon King super chatted to say, yeah, I'm a gun owner and card carrying member of the Socialist Rifle Association. I am strongly supportive of common sense gun control, which I think is perfectly reasonable. Look, I understand there are people who like despise guns, don't want any gun ownership. I get that. My father owned many guns growing up and he was responsible with them. We went target shooting. He went hunting. He didn't own assault weapons and he would have been perfectly fine for there to be background checks and things like that. These are reasonable things. Straw Hat Dragon says, imagine if the lunatics involved in January 6th were successful. Tucker and Hannity would have probably praised their courage for keeping democracy. It's sick. 100%. Their cover story is, this is ridiculous. It didn't work. Why are you talking about it? But if it had worked, what do you think, that they would have been like aggrieved? It would have been, you know, too far? Get out of here. No way. Missy Gale Forever says, love your work, Lonzo. Your clip posted yesterday was an on point plethora of fiery words calling out these hypocritical Republican turds. That's awesome. Thank you. Everyone can check out Alonzo's work over at Rebel HQ and apparently Salt Lake City and Denver coming up this weekend. So very exciting. We'll give you more details. Zane, member for 19 months at Tier 3, says, woohoo, when is the June Tier 3 Q&A? That is going to be this Thursday, 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern. Hope to see you there, Zane, as always. Love Alonzo Bowden. Wish I was in Salt Lake for the show. It's definitely been more than 13 months. You'll tell me how long it's been. It's been 19, actually. But yeah, too bad can't be there for the show. It'd be great. We were talking, Francesca and I were talking just casually about, like, we should set up a TYT comedy show, like a one night thing. You'll be there, Francesca, we get Ida, we get some different people affiliated with TYT. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
I'm up for it. Let's do it.
RJL Network's been a member for 18 months, is happy to be listening to the truth here at the Damage Report.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.